offer my thankfulness to all of you for kindly coming this evening to attend this auspicious satsang in the glorification of Krishna, his holy name, and especially those devotees who have given their lives for the purpose of spreading the glories of the holy name throughout the world. This is a very special time in the history of our movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And especially, it is a very sacred time in my own life. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, left India from the city of Bombay. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was living in the Radha Damodar temple, a very simple and holy place, where to his full satisfaction, he had everything that a devotee could desire. He was living in the most sacred place, close to the samadhis of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, in the holy land of Vrindavan at Seva Kunj, where Krishna performs his most intimate of all pastimes, the Ras Lila. There, amongst the beautiful Kalpa Vriksha trees, he was having the darshan throughout the day of the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, so very, very sacred to our tradition, taking the Mahaprasad of Sri Radha Damodar. Very simple life, but it is the life that all Vaishnavas desire at the end of one's sojourn in this body. But he went to Vrindavan not for the purpose of retiring and dying, like almost everyone. He went to Vrindavan to prepare himself to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful message of the chanting of Krishna's name throughout the entire world. Besides doing his deep and most ecstatic bhajan, he worked so difficult, through such difficult opposition, to write the first three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He also began to write back to Godhead. And from Vrindavan, he would to Delhi to see to the printing, to see to the selling, and then he would come back to Vrindavan. And when he had completed what he felt was the basic necessities of transcendental literatures to establish the validity of his movement throughout the world, he left Vrindavan at the age of 69. He had no money. He had no support. All he had was faith in Krishna and his name, faith in the order of his spiritual master. So it is very important to know where he came to from Vrindavan to make arrangements for his worldwide mission. He came to the city of Bombay. It was here that he was trying to make all of his arrangements and plans to go to America to begin the Hare Krishna movement. Here in Bombay, he stayed in so many places.
Nightmare or a nice dream? What matters is your waking up.
Appealing for support and help. But nobody could believe that what he dreamed of doing could possibly be done. So there was practically no one that really gave any real support to him. He would go from place to place and he would give lectures. Many years before, it was he that first established amongst a few of his godbrothers the Gaudiya Math in Bombay. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his Guru Maharaj, came here personally at his request to install the deities in this city. Although he did this most important service, when he appealed for the help of his godbrothers here, they were very accommodating to give him prasad and a place to stay perhaps, but helping him with such a mission of spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the world, they considered it impossible. No encouragement, no support. Somehow or other, through Sumati Murarji, he got a ticket on a cargo ship called Jaladuta to New York City. And she was unwilling to do it. She told him, Swamiji, at your age, almost 70, to go to that cold and atheistic country of America
without any support, without any funds, you will die. You will never survive. I cannot in my heart give you the ticket. She said, I have been to that place. You don't know what it's like. You should not go. But Srila Prabhupada sat on the steps of her office and said, I will not leave until you give me a ticket. She was a pious lady and a devotee of Krishna, and she respected him as a great sadhu. But she couldn't understand what he was doing. But she gave him the ticket. And across the Atlantic Ocean, he celebrated his 70th birthday. He celebrated Janmashtami in a very humble way. Seasickness, nausea, vomiting, heart attacks all came upon him. Krishna appeared to him on that boat and told him that by my grace, I will carry you across this ocean. When the boat was just coming toward Boston Harbor, he wrote beautiful, beautiful poems in which he was expressing his utterly helpless condition, completely depending on the mercy of his Guru Maharaj and Lord Sri Krishna. He did not even know what type of language they spoke in America. He did not know whether they could understand his speaking. His godbrothers told him that there is no vegetarian food in America. there is only meat. So Srila Prabhupada, not knowing anything about this country, one of the main things he brought with him was a bag of grains to somehow or other survive while he was there. Such a condition, he was arriving in this very foreign place. And he prayed, "My Lord Sri Krishna, if you want to make my words understandable by these people, you have the power to do this. If you give me the power to penetrate their hearts with your pure and loving message, then they will understand. I am a puppet, and you can make me dance any way you like me to dance." From there he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, from New York. And Butler, Pennsylvania is a small town. Nothing impressive about it. I have been there many times. There's only one thing impressive about Butler, Pennsylvania, and that is that Prabhupada stayed there for some time. Nobody was taking interest. He was staying at someone's house. They were nice, pious, but not spiritually seeking at all. They were content with their materialistic ways. He spoke at YMCA to some old people, and he was thinking that this may be comfortable, but this is not what my Guru Maharaj wants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to declare war against Maya, and I should go to the very heart of the fortress of Maya, New York City. The most materialistic, the most sinful, practically of all cities in the world, where crime, drug addiction, alcoholism, total greed for money is so rampant. He went to New York City. There he lived in so many various places. For some time in the Bowery, where the lowest people in the last stage of degradation go to practically die of various diseases, alcoholism and drug addiction. By the help of a few persons who gradually took interest in his teachings, he started a small temple on 26 Second Avenue. When he was there, Srila Prabhupada would cook for the devotees several times a day. He would serve them. They weren't even devotees. They were just some young people who were interested. He would cook for them. He would serve them with his hands. He would clean the places after them. He would wash the pots himself. He would do the shopping himself. He would have kirtan playing his little karatals. He would speak some philosophy. In this way, these young people who had searched far and wide for genuine spiritual life, they were seeing that here is a man who truly loves God and who is truly presenting the pure message of the Lord. Although he was older than their grandfathers, in an age when the young generation in America would have nothing to do with even their parents, what to speak of their grandparents, they felt that this person is their most loving well-wisher and friend. Although they could hardly understand his language, but they understood his compassion. And they wanted to help him. And gradually they were convinced of the words he said. And these few young men and women were willing to give their lives to help him. But what did they have? They had no money. But they had the desire to serve. And through that desire, Srila Prabhupada gradually used them to perform such wonderful, wonderful activities. He would sit in the Tompkins Square Park playing a little drum that somebody gave him. Not a mridanga, just a little drum. And he would sing Hare Krishna. And in this way, gradually, New York City was inundated with Krishna's holy name. Later he went to San Francisco, Montreal, Santa Fe, New Mexico, starting little centers. Wherever he went, people found shelter. People found the mercy of Krishna, and their lives were transformed. Srila Prabhupada told us that his Guru Maharaj was very anxious to start a temple in London. So from America he sent six of his Grihastha devotees to London to begin a temple. And when they went to London, these devotees, Malati was here just recently, she was telling us what they went through. They had no place. In fact, in those days, the British government, they were not allowing young people from America into India unless they had sufficient money to show at the border. So what they did, these devotees, is they borrowed just enough money to show the government. And they, one of them flew at a time. Then they sent that check or that money, traveler's checks, back to America. And then the next person would come and he would show the traveler's checks. And then he would send it back. In this way, all six of them practically had to come separate, and they were using the same traveler's checks to show that they had money to come in. And then at the end, they had to send the traveler's checks back to the person they borrowed it from, and they had nothing. And they were just all spread out, living in different places. Malati, Shyam Sundar, they just had a baby, infant child. And for some time, they were living in the basement of a warehouse in a cardboard box. Cardboard box was their bedroom, and they would sleep in it with their baby. And this is how they were living. And as much as they possibly could, the three families would meet from time to time and try to start some preaching. This was their dedication to their Guru Maharaj. They left the wealth of America to live like this. In America, they had nice jobs and they were living nicely. But they had nothing to take with them when they left, except their faith. And gradually, Shyam Sundar, Malati, and the others, they met members of the most famous musicians in the world, the Beatles. And they agreed. They were so impressed by the philosophy and the culture that Prabhupada was giving that they agreed that Prabhupada could temporarily stay in their house. John Lennon's house. So Srila Prabhupada came to England. And his disciples had nothing but someone offering to use the house for some time, Prabhupada could stay there, but the devotees still had to stay all other places. Gradually, Srila Prabhupada and the devotees started a little temple at Sevenberry Place. At that time, whoever helped Srila Prabhupada became most dear to him. Mr. Chabria, anyway, what? At that time, one person who came forward to really try to help Srila Prabhupada due to his great piety and devotion was Mr. Ramchandra Chabria. He just left before I started talking with him. Mr. Chabria, please come. We are speaking about you. He was one of the original people in England, one of the original Indian people. No Indians ever supported Srila Prabhupada in America. It was in England that some Indian people first came forward to take some interest in his movement. And Mr. Chabria was one of the first. He would go regularly on Harinam Sankirtan through the streets of London with the few devotees that were with Srila Prabhupada in the year of 1969. And he offered whatever he could do to assist Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had a dream of coming back to India with his Western disciples to revive the culture of Krishna consciousness in this great land of Bharatvarsha. At that time, Sri Ramchandraji told Srila Prabhupada that he was the owner of a hotel, the Sea Palace Hotel, just close to the gateway of India in Bombay, and that Srila Prabhupada was free to stay here when he came to India. When Srila Prabhupada came, he arrived in Calcutta. Later he came to Bombay. He had nowhere else to stay. He had about 15 or 20 disciples with him. And the first place I believe he stayed in Bombay was this place that we are all sitting, the Sea Palace Hotel. Mr. Chabria so lovingly welcomed him here. He gave him the entire fourth floor for Srila Prabhupada and his devotees, free of charge, and told Srila Prabhupada he could stay here as long as he wanted, until he could establish a center of his own. And here, Mr. Chabria and Srila Prabhupada had so many wonderful intimate talks. And if you want to become purified by these wonderful conversations, you kindly speak with Mr. Chabria, and he could give you his remembrances of his wonderful association with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada stayed here for almost a month with his disciples. And Mr. Chabria was very much enthusiastic to go out to many places in Bombay to try to help find a place that Srila Prabhupada could use as a center. And eventually they found a place on Bulabai Desai Road called Akash Ganga. It was a flat, I think the seventh floor. And Srila Prabhupada started a very, very small, simple center in this flat where his disciples could stay as a base. It was very simple, very humble beginning. They had practically nothing. They knew practically and no one. And one day, Srila Prabhupada said to his devotees that he wanted to have an 11-day pandal program and invite tens and thousands of people and shake the whole city of Bombay with the chanting of Hare Krishna. He said he wants to distribute prasad to hundreds and thousands of people, and he wants big program that will bring attention to all of India. And the devotees couldn't understand and couldn't believe what he was saying. We hardly know anyone. We have no funds. We just got here. How can we have a program for tens and thousands of people in the heart of Bombay? Srila Prabhupada said that if you go hunting, you should shoot for the rhinoceros, because the rhinoceros is the hardest animal to catch of all animals. He said, if you go hunting for rhinoceros, he said, if you never get it, everyone will say, well, it was impossible to get anyway. And if you get it, everyone will think, oh, how wonderful. And the devotees had so many doubts, these American young people. And Srila Prabhupada told them that what is the use of your being American if you cannot do something wonderful? Prabhupada said at that time, when they said it was impossible, he said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. By the grace of Krishna, everything is possible. Srila Prabhupada had that faith and that determination and that willing to sacrifice everything for the benefit of others. And he personally organized, decided everything. And he was pushing his devotees forward. And although it was a foreign land, they didn't know how to do anything here. They were always sick with various diseases. By Srila Prabhupada's very, very enthusiastic determination and encouragement, he was sending them, dispatching them out in different directions. He put Shyam Sundar in charge of publicity. He put Giriraj Maharaj in charge of fundraising. He put Tamal Krishna Maharaj in charge of setting up the pandal. Marud Vista Swami in charge of the program at the stage. And in this way he was telling every them systematically. They had to come to him every day and report. And the momentum was building. Miracles were being performed by them. They didn't know how. It is said in the Shastra, Mukam karoti vachalam bhangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande sri gurum dinatharanam. That if one has the mercy of Guru, even if one is a lame man, he can cross over the highest mountains of the Himalayas. Even if one is a blind man, he can see the most distant stars in the sky. And even if one is dumb, he can speak the most eloquent poetry. Because to receive the mercy of Guru means to receive the mercy of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had faith in the mercy of his Guru. And he knew that he could do anything on the basis of that faith, if it was for Krishna. And he imbibed that same faith in his simple followers who had no experience at all in what he was asking them to do. An 11-day pandal program with tens and thousands of people every day. How would they feed them? Where would they get the books from to give to them? Where would they make the latrines and toilet facilities and the lighting and the tents. So many to have a program that size. So much thought, so much planning, so much experience, so much resources. Shamsundar somehow or other began to advertise. And he was putting up banners and putting up billboards and putting ads in newspapers. How it was happening, they didn't know. Gradually, some people were giving some funds. When Srila Prabhupada first had the idea, he decided to call those favorable people who were life members to try to help. He had a meeting just to propose the idea of this gigantic Pandal program in which he needed over 100,000 rupees, which in 1971 was a lot for someone who had nothing. So most of the life members and people who were favorable to him, most of them didn't even come. And of those who came, practically all of them said it's impossible. They showed no interest and gave no idea of support, because how are you, such a small man with such a little tiny following, with no resources, going to have such a huge program? But there were just about 5 or 6 of these favorable people who actually said to Srila Prabhupada that, yes, we're here to help you in every way we can. And one of those half-dozen people was our dear friend, Mr. Chabria. Because he assisted Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada's at a time when he was most in need, we can understand that he eternally has the most intimate blessings of Lord Krishna. Even at the risk of being criticized, he didn't care. And with these few people and the few disciples, gradually the Pandal came upon. And it was on March 25th, 1971, yesterday, that Srila Prabhupada began the first major program in the history of the Hare Krishna movement. On the first day, 10,000 people came. And in the evening, over 20,000 people attended. Srila Prabhupada ki. It was the first time that Srila Prabhupada was preaching to the masses of so many thousands at a time. And this program was such a wonderful success. Over 20,000 people appeared on that night. There was kirtan by the devotees, dancing and chanting. And there was no Indian devotees at that time, because Prabhupada had just come to India. So the people of Bombay were amazed to see all these Americans and Europeans dancing in ecstasy and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, wearing saris and dhotis and tilak. It was astonishing to them. It was beyond their dreams. And yet the kirtans were so sweet and so beautiful and so full of devotion. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees that you will attract many people because you are my dancing white elephants. People like to see dancing white elephants. And Prabhupada also arranged for beautiful, beautiful deities from Jaipur to be there. There was a beautiful altar with Radha and Krishna. The devotees were worshipping them on the stage. There were slideshows. And then Srila Prabhupada would come forward amongst the masses, and with his karatals he would sing Jai Radha Madhava, and then he would give lecture. It was on the first day of that Pandal program, March 25th, 1971, during the afternoon, that this lowly, fallen, insignificant, and lost soul happened to be walking down the street in Bombay. Why and how, I do not know, except the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. He had just come down from the Himalayas. I was studying the books of Shankaracharya. I was living in seclusion in caves on the banks of the Ganges in the jungle, simply absorbed in solitude and seclusion, and meeting various yogis, learning from them. I came to Bombay for the purpose of getting a visa extension. Otherwise, I had no business in Bombay. But everyone else refused me, and they told me, if you go to Bombay, they may give you a visa extension. So when I came, I was taking a course in Buddhist meditation in Buleshwar. And the course ended. And I was thinking that I will just take a walk. And I started walking. Oh. I was actually walking to American Express office to see if I had any mail. But there was no reason, because nobody in the entire planet knew I was in Bombay. From Himalayas, I just came to Bombay. When I was in Himalayas, there was no address in the caves I was living. So there was no way anyone could have possibly known. Besides the Paramatma, nobody knew where I was in the world. So why I was going to American Express to check for mail doesn't make sense even to me. But I just decided I will go. 100%, there's no mail for me, but still I'll go. It didn't make sense, but actually, in spiritual understanding, things that do not make sense materially make the best sense. So I was walking for many kilometers, and I was thinking, after I walked for about an hour or so, that there's no possibility that there's any mail for me. There's no use in me even going to American Express. But somehow or other, I'm already walking, so God must have some plan. And then I saw a big sign saying, Hare Krishna Festival, Cross Maidan. So I asked someone, where is this Cross Maidan? And that person, some unknown stranger on the street, he said, it's just there. It was just a 2-minute walk from where I saw the sign. So I was always interested in learning more and more about different spiritual philosophies and paths. So I walked in, and one devotee, his name was Tushta Krishna. He was sitting behind a book desk, a book stall. It was just a long table. Hardly anyone was there in the pandal because it was during the day. And I had long, long matted hair and a begging pot and the robes of a Himalayan sadhu. And he looked at me and he couldn't understand who I was or what I was. He thought I was just an Indian sadhu, so he ignored me. And then I said, "Do you have any books I can read?" And he was shocked that I spoke English. He said, "You speak English?" He said it in an Indian type accent. I said, "Yes, I am from America." He said, "You are from America? You?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I have a book for you to read." There was a book called Krishna Book, which had just been brought to India. It was a very newly published book. George Harrison, Shamsundar convinced, and Prabhupada convinced George Harrison to pay for the funding of this book. And he turned to a certain chapter. And that chapter was telling the story of how Lord Shiva gave a benediction to Brikasura, that whoever's head he touches will crack in a thousand places. So Lord Shiva gave him, and then he went to touch Shiva's head because he wanted to have Parvati for his own. So Shiva ran away, and he was running and running, and Brikasura was running after him. And then Vishnu, Krishna, he descended in the form of a small boy, and he told Brikasura, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to touch Shiva's head, kill him, and take Parvati." And the disguised Krishna said to Brikasura that you are a fool, because I know Shiva. He gives all these blessings, but they never work. You will touch his head, nothing will happen, and everyone will laugh at you. So to avoid this embarrassment, you should test to see whether the benediction works and touch your own head. So he touched his own head, and it worked. Cracked in 1,000 places, and he died. And then Lord Shiva was offering prayers to Krishna for saving him. So I read this. He said, "You are a Shivite?" I said, "I'm living in Himalayas. Everyone there is Shivite." He said, "You see, even Shiva takes shelter of Krishna, so you should surrender to Krishna." He was the first devotee I met. Exactly 25 years ago, and I first read Srila Prabhupada's book. Then some devotees preached to me, and someone said, "Would you like to do seva?" I said, "Yes, I want to make spiritual advancement somehow or other." So they introduced me to Giriraj Das Brahmachari, who is now His Holiness Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj. And Giriraj Maharaj was in charge of Back to Godhead. He had a table at the other end of the pandal at Cross Maidan from the bookstall. And people were stealing the Back to Godheads. So my service was to put holes in the corner and tie a string through the hole and then tie the string to the table so people could look at them but not steal them. So it is my great pleasure to tell you that the first service I ever entered in the Hare Krishna movement was service to Back to Godhead in Bombay. So Yudhisthira Prabhu, you should meditate on this truth. Then the evening came, and before my eyes there was over 20,000 people in this pandal program. And then I was waiting for Srila Prabhupada to speak. I stayed there all day because everyone was telling me, "Prabhupada's going to speak tonight." And I was very anxious because wherever I went in India, I was always searching out great sages to hear from and learn from. So the devotees were chanting. And then Srila Prabhupada came on the stage and sat on his asana. And Giriraj Maharaj told me, you should go to the lecture now because Guru Maharaj is speaking. And then he left to go on stage. And I just went to the back and I was sitting there. And I was thinking, because it was so far back, I could hardly see the person on the stage. And I saw pictures of Prabhupada. But he didn't say Prabhupada, he said Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada started singing. And I was thinking, when is this Guru Maharaj going to stop so Prabhupada could speak? And he kept singing, and I was actually making aparads in my mind. I was thinking, everyone's come to hear Prabhupada. Why this Guru Maharaj is singing for so long? And then I started focusing in, and I was thinking, actually, that is Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj is Prabhupada. Meanwhile, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada named Guru Das, he was on the stage, and he was just looking. He was very obvious because he was a very big person. And then he started signaling for someone to come, but no one came. Then he came to that person he was signaling to. He came all the way through probably 10,000 people to reach me. I was just sitting near the back in this huge crowd on the ground. And he took me by the hand and he said, Srila Prabhupada is inviting you to sit on the stage with him. And I didn't say anything. I just was very much happy. And I got up, and he held me by the hand and brought me all the way to sit just quite close to his Vyasa-san. That was exactly 25 years ago. And I remember when I was sitting there and Srila Prabhupada was speaking, the most powerful thought came from my heart. A thought I never had before. From my heart, there was a voice that said, "This is your eternal spiritual master. You should surrender to him now, because he is old and he may leave this world any day." And when I heard that, I was practically paralyzed. But because my mind was so much immersed in going to all so many holy places, meeting so many sages and rishis and yogis and gurus, my mind was fighting against my heart, bitterly. And I was sitting there in a war with myself as I was at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. My mind was saying, yes, he is a great sage, listen to him, but after you hear him for this 11 days, you must go on and keep searching. So I sat. And after Srila Prabhupada's wonderful lecture, his lecture was very heavy. He was challenging all the people of India that you are taking to these Western ways and the civilization you are aspiring to achieve is a total failure. He said the big people of India, the politicians and so forth, they are going to the Western countries to beg. But you have the greatest treasure to give them. The treasure of Krishna culture. Of Sanatana Dharma. Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of every Indian to understand their own spiritual heritage and save the world, enlighten the world by giving them Krishna. He was challenging. And he was speaking the highest truths in such an uncompromising, but in such a compassionate way. Although I had heard previously so many of the biggest saints of India and of the West, I had never heard anyone speak with such conviction and such devotion and such authority. Anyways, as Srila Prabhupada was ending his lecture and leaving the stage, by his kind mercy, he personally told me that I could touch his lotus feet and take the dust on my head, which was the first instruction he ever gave me, which I followed with great gratitude. And he told me, "You please come and sit on the stage with us every night." So each night I came, and all the devotees were dancing and chanting very blissfully. And I was thinking, this philosophy is very interesting, and these people have tremendous devotion, but why they dance? I will never dance. Because I was a meditator. And I remember thinking like this, this is one thing they'll never get me to do, is dance like this. Some days went by, and one day, every day Srila Prabhupada would smile at me and just make very happy to be in his, for everyone's against you, concern, and he would always show that he was very happy that I was coming. But one day I was just sitting a few feet away from him. He looked at me and his eyes were severe. They were so serious, so grave. He was looking at me in a mood of chastisement. And he didn't say a word. But Srila Prabhupada had the power to speak through his glance. When he looked at you, you could hear what he was trying to say from the core of your heart, if he wanted to do that. And as he was looking at me, I heard his voice in my heart, in his chastising glance. He said, "Give up all your nonsense and surrender to Krishna." And I was just, how could I do something like this? Why is he saying like this to me? And he looked at me for many seconds. Another day, because I would come during the day, I met Giriraj Maharaj. And he was just talking to me. And I told him I was reading a book, a very interesting book. I wanted to know if he had ever read it. It was called The Crest Jewel of Discrimination by Sripad Shankaracharya. And I shouldn't have asked him whether he ever read that book. Because as soon as I said Sripad Shankaracharya, he quoted that Shankaracharya, he is a Mayavadi. And he misled the whole world with his teachings. And at the end of his life, you know what he said to the people who were studying his teachings? And he was pointing at me because I was one of them. He said, and he quoted the Sanskrit, Vajra Govindam, Vajra Govindam, Vajra Govindam, Udhamate, that worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, you fools and asses. And I was thinking, I have come as a guest, and he is calling me a fool and an ass. I said, these people are very straightforward. This Prabhupada is teaching them to be very straightforward. I don't agree with it, I don't like it, but it's very straightforward. Another day, they were serving halwa. And there was a big, big, long, long line. And I hadn't eaten in about 2-3 days, because I used to always fast in those days. And plus, there was no place to get food. And I didn't like to wait in lines for... So this day, I was standing in line for about an hour. And I was very hungry. And finally, I got to the front of the line. I was practically starving. And this devotee gave me a leaf cup full of halva. And one thing I remembered, it was just a small cup, but it was so heavy in weight. Because there was so much oil. So I was very happy. Now I will eat. And then Gurudas, he came up to me just at that point. He said, you're not going to eat that, are you? I said, yes, I am. I said, it's prasad. He said, if you eat that, you will get sick. You may even die. And I said, then why are you giving it to everyone? He said, you will never digest it. He said, you come with me. And he took it out of my hands and put it back in the pot. And he took me to the backstage. And there, Madhudvista Swami, Subal Swami, and Shamsundar were sitting there talking. And Shamsundar was very nice. He smiled at me and gave me a place to sit. And
Samprasad.
And Malati came and brought me nice chapati, sabji, and rice, and tea, and pakoras, and a different batch of halava. And laddu also. I remember what was on the plate. It was very good. And she brought me seconds also, and thirds. That was the first time I ever took Krishna's prasad. Another day I was walking and Gurudas came up to me and in a very mystical way, as if he was telling the future, but at the same time, kind of chastising me as well. Because I still was in the robes and the hairdress of a impersonal yogi with my begging pot. He looked at me and with complete conviction and a kind of a smile on his face, he said, very loudly, he said, you are a bhakta. And I just looked at him and said, thank you very much. I don't necessarily believe you, but thank you very much. I remember every evening at the beginning of the program, at the Pandal program, little Saraswati, Shamsundar and Malati's girl, she was about probably 4 years old at the time. She was very beautiful. And the Indian people, they were very charmed by her presence. She was just a little girl with very blue eyes and whitish blonde hair. And she was wearing a little sari. And she had little dots, gopi dots. And she was very different for Indians to see such a person. And she would come up and personally put the garland on Srila Prabhupada at the beginning of the program. And everyone would applaud. to see this exchange of love. And one day Srila Prabhupada was explaining how simple it is to preach Krishna consciousness. He was saying that Bhagavad Gita, there are hundreds of translations in the Western world, and they have been there for over 200 years. But yet, not a single person became a Krishna Bhakta by reading them. Because everyone who has given Bhagavad Gita in English is giving their own interpretation. He said, nobody even knows who Krishna is, even after reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, but these young American boys and girls, 4 years ago, they never heard of Krishna. He said, now they are dancing and chanting his name in ecstasy and dedicating their lives 100% according to Krishna's instructions. Why is this? He said, because I have presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, with no interpretation, with no adulteration. I am simply repeating what Krishna has said in Gita as the parampara has preserved it. And he said, hundreds and thousands of people throughout the world are becoming Krishna's devotees simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he explained that Krishna says throughout Gita that he is the Supreme God. He is the cause of all causes. That we should surrender to him. But no one is teaching this. They are all taking Bhagavad Gita and giving their own ideas. Srila Prabhupada explained the little Saraswati. She's only a 4-year-old American girl. And everyone she meets, she says to them, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, she is a perfect preacher. She has heard this from Guru through Parampara, and she is simply repeating, and therefore she has the power to change people's hearts. He said, don't manufacture, don't concoct, simply repeat the truth that Krishna presents. And he was explaining how this was the first and foremost duty of every Indian, to understand Krishna, the teachings of Gita, and to teach it to others. So I was listening. And the next day, there was a wedding. So during this wedding, I did not sit on the stage that night. The wedding was during the evening program, because in those days I was against weddings. I was a tapasi, and I was thinking that even though Prabhupada's on stage and he's invited me, that it would be against my principles to be anywhere on the level of a wedding. So I was standing in the crowd off to the side of the stage. And Srila Prabhupada was getting two of his foreign devotees married. And there was probably 25,000 people who attended that wedding that night. They were astonished. One of my godbrothers, Vegavan, who was from Sweden, he has very white complexion, kind of reddish hair, bluish eyes, and he was marrying a girl from Australia, and she had nice sari and decorations and nose rings and everything else, and he was very much looking like a gentleman about to get married. And Prabhupada was, there was also initiations. Srila Prabhupada was explaining that this is a Vedic marriage ceremony with a fire yajna. And he said, we find here a boy from Australia, I mean, boy from Sweden, girl from Australia. They are coming together in devotion to Krishna. And you also see here on the stage, there are people from America, from Europe, from so many parts of the world. They are all coming together in the service of Krishna. And then he acclaimed to all the masses of thousands of people, he said, this Krishna consciousness movement is the real United Nations. And everyone applauded. and cheered, knowing that he was speaking the truth. And Prabhupada explained how Krishna consciousness is the transcendental process which takes our consciousness beyond all the temporary designations of this world, where there is so much disunity and frustration, and brings us to that truth of spiritual consciousness where we are all united as eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Anything else I forgot, Krishna Chandra? Ah, yes, yes. So during the wedding ceremony, I felt somebody grabbing my hand from down below. And someone was holding my hand and shaking it. And I looked down, and it was Saraswati. She came down into the crowd. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, in a very sweet but enthusiastic voice, she said, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" And then she had a beautiful smile, beaming like the sun. She said, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And then she ran away. And I was thinking, this is very nice. Prabhupada told me she would do like this, and she has done it. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada was so much in his lectures talking about the importance of his books that I was thinking I should get one of his books. So I had no money. I went into the streets of Bombay, and I was watching the beggars asking for bakshish, huh? How they were at the corners begging, because there's no shortage of beggars in Bombay. So I was thinking that I will train up by watching them. So I was watching the beggars going to the stoplights and everything and begging for money. So I was thinking there's no other way I can get one of Prabhupada's books. So I started asking people for bakshish. I was just going, "Bakshish, bakshish." And people who spoke English would say, why do you want this? I'd say, "I want to buy Bhagavad, I want to buy Shastra, scripture." So some people were giving. After some days, I would go out a couple hours a day. The last day of the pandal. The last day of the pandal, I gave one of the devotees enough money to buy Krishna book. And that devotee told Prabhupada that this little American sadhu, I was 20 years old at the time, said he was out begging for days just to buy one of your books. And Prabhupada was very happy. He rubbed my top of my head and smiled and said, "Thank you very much." Srila Prabhupada, during this Cross Maidan Pandal program, literally shook Bombay. Over 20,000 people a night, all together, there were lakhs and lakhs of people. They'd heard the kirtan, heard Prabhupada and his devotees chanting, heard Prabhupada's lectures, took Prabhupada's prasad. It was a spectacular, massive event. And Srila Prabhupada was so satisfied, because it confirmed within his heart, and he expressed this, that Krishna consciousness was going to save India from degradation and total downfall. He understood that Krishna consciousness in a large way could give shelter to this nation. And through giving shelter to this nation, it could give real hope and light to the whole world. On the last day of the Pandal program at Cross Maidan, I believe it was April 4th, 1971. They had a grand procession with the deities, with all the devotees, and with Srila Prabhupada. And so many kirtan mandalas from all over Bombay were joining. It was actually hundreds, maybe thousands of people that came on this procession. I believe it was so many. And we went on that procession with Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. And that procession, ultimate destination, was Chaupati Beach, where it stopped. And Srila Prabhupada, if I remember right, he spoke there. So I was sitting there at the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj, just about 1 minute walk from the place that is now Radha Gopinath's temple. Of course, I didn't know anything about Radha Gopinath's temple in those days. But when I think back, it is a very special memory. The pandal ended. It was a wonderful event, historical. And I took Krishna book and my begging pot and went back to the Himalayas to perform tapasya. And later on, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I met him again in Vrindavan. And there I, by his kindness, he lifted me up and engaged me in his service. Anyways, I'm sorry if I'm sharing my own personal thoughts with you, but it is a great pleasure to my heart to remember these incidences of how Prabhupada so mercifully transformed my life, gave me the gift, the treasure that I owe my life to him for. But it was exactly 25 years ago that Srila Prabhupada first graced me with his supreme compassion in a pandal program which was especially designed to help Bombay become Krishna conscious. And who would have ever known that years later I would be sent back to Bombay to make some small attempt to assist Srila Prabhupada in fulfilling what his dream was during that pandal, to bring the people of Bombay to the feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and induce them to chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
I am quite aware that of my insignificance, my shortcomings, my endless downfalls in living up to Prabhupada's expectations. But I am so much fortunate that he is allowing me to assist him in this place, his very office, Bombay, that was such a vital and important part of his mission. And when I see all of you taking such wonderful interest in Krishna consciousness, committing your entire lives to helping spread Srila Prabhupada's mission, I can see that Srila Prabhupada's divine grace is truly upon you in full. You have received his blessings. You are doing the work that he dreamed someone would do for him. And I am just so fortunate to be an observer of this wonderful grace of Srila Prabhupada coming through all of you to really do wonderful things to spread the glories of the holy name in this great city of Bombay. And anyone who in any way allows me to assist them in their spiritual lives and who assists me in this wonderful service that Srila Prabhupada originally implanted in my heart 25 years ago here in Bombay, I am the eternal servant indebted to all of you for that. And here we are at the Sea Palace Hotel in the wonderful presence of Sri Ramchandra Chabria. It is a very sweet experience. During the time of the 11th day, 25th anniversary of the Pandal, to be here with one of Srila Prabhupada's dear friends, with all of you who are truly carrying on his mission, is something wonderful. And tomorrow Shyam Sundar is coming also. He'll be staying at Krishna Chandra's house, and with the Lord's grace he may come to Radha Gopinath's temple and speak to the devotees, perhaps on Ram Navami, about his wonderful experiences with Srila Prabhupada.